Welcome to the Education Podcast Network, a proud member of the Voice Ed Radio Canada, and wherever you are taking. Did I just screw that up? Christine, I think I'm going to do that again. I think I just screwed that up. Let's try that again, everybody. Sorry. And welcome to Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. What was that? What just came out of my mouth, Christine? Wow. This is Andrew Murata, your host, and off to a bumpy start already, but happy to be here. Proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voice Ed Radio Canada, wherever you are tuning in. Thank you to our live audience who is tuning in here. Happy National World Down Syndrome Day. We celebrated some students here in Port Jervis today. And for all those that have Down in their lives, Down syndrome, blessings and respect to you on your journey with your family and your child here. So also opening day NCAA tournament, March Madness is here. A lot of people are excited about the tournament and spring break. Spring break is here for a lot of New York schools. Many of you are finishing and some are starting next week. So spring is here. Very exciting. And I do want to welcome Christine Maraglia, not Maragla, as she corrected me once already. But we're going to meet Christine in a little bit. She is an outstanding educator, someone who is new to the leadership role a couple years in. And my former student at LIU, where she got her degree. So we'll meet Christine in a moment. But before we do that, let's thank today's sponsor of the podcast, IXL. If you use IXL, you know how great it is. Personalized learning, English and math, geared towards the kids. Here is a word from our sponsor. Hey, friends. Andrew Murata here, surviving and thriving. And I want to thank today's sponsor for the podcast, IXL. Discover the power of data-driven instruction in your school with IXL. It is the most widely used online learning and teaching platform, K through 12. It gives you everything you need to maximize learning, from a comprehensive curriculum to meaningful school-wide data. And IXL's diagnostic is research-proven to be a strong predictor of performance on standardized assessments, including NWEA, MAPS, STAR, iLearn, just to name a few. And the best part, everything I just mentioned is all integrated into one platform, so you can simplify your EdTech tools. Visit IXL.com to lead your school towards data-driven excellence today. The link is in the show notes. And again, I want to thank IXL for sponsoring Education, Leadership, and Beyond. And thank you for that. If you're not familiar with IXL, check them out. The link is in the show notes. Excellent to be able to dial in working with your students and get that data you need and all that good stuff. Let's get started here on the podcast. Our opening concept is entitled, How Can I Help You? So many years ago, Christine, it feels like forever ago, Christine was in my leadership class at LIU. We were at Middletown. This was pre-pandemic. And I wasn't familiar with the classroom. I was having a hard time plugging in stuff. And the students were all sitting there and kind of chit-chatting a little bit. And Christine just came out and said, do you need help? You know, can I help you? You know, you look like you might need a hand. And I absolutely did. I couldn't get anything figured out. And like in like 3 seconds, I was like, wow, this young lady is a winner. Like, she is so helpful. And bam, she was a star in the class. And of course, now she's doing exceptional as a school leader in her hometown, Monticello. So that simple act of just approaching me, breaking the ice. Hey, do you need a hand? She noticed I was struggling. And it's that skill, it's that leadership that I think helps set her apart. So let's meet Christine, you know, but when you have an opportunity to help somebody, go do it. Christine did that, and here she is on her way. Christine, welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thank you for, like, all those, you know, rave reviews. It's funny because I remember that, you know, that first class and we had other people in the class that were, you know, also in Middletown. But it was like my building too. Like it was, you know, where I was at the time. So I always kind of have the little sense of, you know, well, this is my place or my space, and like welcoming people to it. Especially when technology is involved. That was the little snafu we had, right? Google tries the best it can, but there's a human element to it.
Well, you helped me, and here we are years later. You've been helping me behind the scenes for many years, and here you are in the front and finally on the podcast. So welcome, and congratulations for landing back in your hometown, Monticello, New York. Tell us, you know, what you're doing this year and how it's going for you.
Yeah, so my current position is in the Monticello Central School District. So, you know, growing up, I grew up in Bethel, which is in the Monticello District. And, you know, it's funny coming back as, you know, an educator. I went through school here, you know, had some challenges in my childhood that, you know, the school district always provided opportunities. And I think my mom was very smart in utilizing those resources, whether it was like even the town having, you know, game nights or, you know, my elementary school was pretty small, just like utilizing what was available, you know, to keep me and my brother busy, as, you know, moms do. And so, you know, coming back and, you know, nothing's changed really. And, you know, everyone thinks things happen and then things monumentally change, but it's still the same, you know, school district. They're still trying to provide the best they can for their students. And so now that I'm in this kind of leadership role and I see myself in a lot of the students, you know, particularly with the high school students, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Or, you know, maybe look at it this way. So my current role, I have kind of two, which I like. I don't know if I'm a glutton for punishment, but I like that I have these like really two different spaces. So my main role in the district is the director of school safety. So that's, you know, managing a small fleet of security attendants. And we have several armed guards in our SRO team. They fall directly under my management. And then also working with the building administration. So working with principals and APs on their emergency plans or, you know, training. We just did our preschool is fairly new here in the district. And so we worked on our handle with care is our kind of de-escalation component in the district policy. And so just like really working with each team and trying to identify, you know, how to support their needs, because we all think of safety as this, you know, we have our lockdown protocols and we have our SROs and we have kind of these really intense structures, but looking at school safety too as the emotional, you know, social emotional well-being of kids. And I kind of bring in my own self-interest of like this humanistic component into safety. So that's been, you know, that's one of my roles. And then the other role kind of ties into that, but I'm an assistant principal. I'm kind of like the assistant principal for the district, but mainly housed in St. John Community School, which is an alternative high school and a preschool, which is not really different when you look at the kids' needs. So that's been fun. Preschool was definitely not part of my wheelhouse, to say the least. I, you know, teaching in a secondary level and focusing. So it's been fun being an assistant principal during those, you know, three-year-old crisis moments. Because it humbles you a little bit. And then sometimes you're like, the sticker was upside down. That's what's causing our strife. So it's definitely been a experience, but those are my current roles. And it's been, you know, I've been here for not too long, but since it is, you know, where I grew up, like I know the buildings, I recognize my former teachers. You know, when I call parents, I'm like, hi, remember me, you know, like from middle school, hi. Like it definitely being a part of the community helps, you know, bridge those relationship gaps and kind of gives a little bit of trust that I do understand, you know, where people are coming from, especially when it comes to their kids. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. You know, talking about the little kids that you're working with now, you have two little ones yourself, a 3-year-old and a 21-month-old, is working with the kids in the school setting, helping you with your own children and or vice versa, being with your kids at home, maybe learning some skills that you could use with those little ones?
Yeah. So I, unfortunately, you know, my kids are now guinea pigs for, you know, new strategies or something I learned in terms of like, you know, de-escalation or, you know, my background was not a, you know, a core content teacher. So, you know, when it comes to literacy and, you know, we use creative curriculum here. So play-based learning, like, you know, in high school, it's project-based, it's all portfolios. So like bringing it into like a preschool level and really looking at play, you know, I've been learning a lot from the educators here and they've been so, you know, welcoming in terms of that. So, you know, I understand more how, you know, my 3-year-old is learning and like where he should be, you know, cause it just wasn't, you know, a part of my world prior to it. And I didn't have an interest in it, but, it's been funny, like testing out things I hear, like, you know, the 4-year-old teacher saying, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to try this with Louis later. And, you know, just the strategies on where he is developmentally has been pretty cool and trying that out. He also tells me a little bit of the gossip because I am his principal. He's like, so-and-so. I was like, no, stop. Don't do that. So it's funny how it crosses over to home, whether it's parenting or, you know, teaching my own kids, you know, how to be responsible or good choices. And it's been pretty funny to watch. And then I still have another year for the other one to come in the pre-K. But yeah, it's fun cross-pollinating the two. And then sometimes I, you know, my husband's like the neutral person. So we'll get the stuff at home, like the sheet, the backpack sheet. And like, I already know what it is because we talked about it. And, you know, I've already seen the sheet before it goes home. And it's fun to have his neutral influence too, of being like, wait, this isn't clear, or like, oh, this looks great, or are they doing more of this? So it's been pretty cool seeing it blending, which is, you know, does make my life easier. But then sometimes I'm like, oh, we can try this, or there's a lot of opportunity here, which is fun.
If you're watching the show live, jump in the chat, say hello, let us know where you're coming from, whether you're a friend of Christine's or a fan of the show here. Let us know where you are and say hello. Christine, talking about school security, I mean, it really is at the forefront of everything we're doing. It has to be. So tell me some of the things that you're working on. Tell me some of the initiatives you have there and, you know, some of the aspects of training your people, things like that, that you are looking to bring to Monticello.
Yeah. So we were just, we just had a conference day I mentioned, I think Handle with Care already. So that is our, you know, our verbal de-escalation and if physical restraint for whatever, you know, if there's an assault or something happening, you know, it's a personal initiative. And I know the district is really looking into, you know, the social emotional well-being of students. And in regards to safety, the root of a behavior that could be potentially unsafe usually comes from anger or fear. And so trying to work with this understanding of behavior, whether it's a 3-year-old to, like I said, I'm in alternative high school, you know, and it's the age spectrum, but really the same root is always there. So that's something that, you know, it's not necessarily a district initiative, but it's something that I think, as we all are becoming more aware of, that this emotional element of safety is real, and it's involved everything from parents wanting to protect their kids to teachers potentially feeling unsafe if they think a kid has some sort of contraband on them. It really, you can't look at school safety without that human component. And I think what's nice in my current placement is that Monticello is looking at that from a counseling perspective, from a curriculum perspective, from, you know, having me like talk to my team. We're doing like a book study for hacking school discipline. So a lot of the administrators have had this book, and I'm like, no, my guards should get this too. So my security guards are, you know, also being included on those conversations of restorative circles or relationship building, or, you know, not everything is going to be a lunch detention. And like working as a whole community and understanding those things, and that it's a, like, if we can build those relationships, then we can continue to keep each other safe, right? If you trust someone that, you know, that trust is being built, then you automatically will start feeling safer. Or if you are feeling something or something happened at home, like, we all kind of get the whole picture. So that's been, you know, not a direct policy, but you can see all these different departments kind of figuring out this message and how we can work together. And especially with, you know, our special education population and, you know, trying to work on why are they getting these punitive discipline, and what can we do in order to, you know, figure out the best placement or the intervention that works best. So that's been something that's been really interesting to me. And also, you know, my guards have been on board on, you know, they get it. They get the kids in the hallway that are walking around a lot. They know more than the teachers know these kids. And so if we're all speaking the same language, that's, you know, just another thing we're working on, you know, really getting to the root of the behavior. And, you know, sometimes we can't have those conversations depending on whatever the level is or the severity of a potential incident. But, you know, we're all really trying to be proactive and looking at that emotive quality, and really trying to keep the community involved, the parents involved, guardians, you know, whoever is a part of that child's life. You know, I've seen the administrators here work very hard on bridging that gap. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't go well. Like, you know, the other day I had a parent screaming in the office because they were upset their kid had a vape on them. But the parent was frustrated with the kid. And then we're like, we'll work together and try to figure it out. But some things you just can't, you know, you have to toe a hard line on. But in the end, when the kid comes back, what can we do more on reentries and providing supports for the family? Because in the end, we are a community that, in general, needs to stay safe and look at those things. So that's been a big thing. And, you know, we started metal detecting. That's always gets people a little on edge. But we do it once a week. You know, we don't have the capacity to do it every day. But, you know, it's once again, it's being very clear on, you know, we want to keep our building safe. We want to keep our kids safe. And, you know, the team, when things have come up, it's not, you know, and I gotcha. It's a more of like, hey, here's our process. Let's move forward on how we can prevent this in the future, or is something going on? You know, and it's all accountability, especially in the higher levels. We do it in our secondary schools, so our middle school and our high school. And that's been new this year. We've done it at sport events, but, you know, a lot of our local community or bigger schools have been doing it, and we're just kind of now getting in line with, you know, what the world unfortunately is coming to. But, you know, we've prevented things that shouldn't be in school from coming into school. So that's, you know, the most important part.
Yeah. Great answer, Christine. I'm so happy to hear you talking about, you know, within the building, right? The wellness of the kids and the, you know, those relationships. I mean, the days of, you know, the bad guy coming into a school, they happen, but they're few and far in between. It's the kids in the building. It's the people in the building. So it sounds like that's where your focus is.
Yeah. And the one thing that I love about, you know, kids is that they do have this brutally honest component. And then when we build those relationships, they're like, they see someone new come in the building and they're like, who are you? And like, we're like, yeah, you should be saying something. If you don't know, or if they're not wearing, you know, their ID, like, this is your school too. And that always cracks me up, especially when, you know, it's like an elementary school student, like, who are you? And then my alternative high school kid's like, who's that guy? Like, you know, it's nice that it is a family and they know the consistency, and that we really are trying to, you know, be supportive and have them have a beautiful day at school, whether they like school or not, right? Some kids just come for gym. I get it. But it's been nice to see. And that, you know, like I said, I haven't been here for long. So it's good to see that that's already kind of established here.
Yeah. Christine, again, you're in your first year there. You did a short stint at another school, an administrative job. So you're learning. You're learning here. Tell me about learning on the job. What are some things that have happened that you've kind of said, yeah, I'm going to do that differently next time, and as you go? I mean, we had our faces in the books a couple years ago, LIU, but now you're doing it in action. So tell me about learning on the job.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I've always been aware of is that, like, I don't know everything, and I shouldn't, and I don't feel that I know everything. You know, like policy, I can't memorize policy, but I know who can, and I know who knows the resources, and I know it's like, once again, kind of goes back to the beginning, like, how can I help? So, you know, one thing I've learned is asking, you know, if it's a difficult parent, trying to get more information on that parent before I make that phone call, just so I'm most equipped, or reading the notes, or, you know, talking to the kid a little bit about their personality, and trying to just kind of figure out all perspectives before kind of going into that difficult conversation. You know, as a younger administrator, you know, there is that pressure of, you know, the older, like, you're the youngest person in the room. And so feeling the need to be, you know, as prepared as possible. But also knowing, like, the parent knows their kid best. That was, you know, that's always a big learning, because I wasn't a parent when I started. So that's something of, you know, you don't know until you know. But that was a learning of, you know, the difficult parents, of like, where can you find that connection so you can build the relationship and the respect? So that just, you know, that comes with, I'm calling my lawyer, and I'm, you know, and those hard conversations, or the conversations that didn't end because there was some sort of miscommunication. So learning from those experiences are something that, you know, I'm thinking of, like, you know, the 10 parents that I'm like, oh, but when, you know, when I left Liberty, I had already built a couple relationships with, you know, parents that other people didn't want to deal with, but their aggression or their passion for their kid was their response. And so just learning that you know, it's not my ego. It has nothing to do with me. They might say it's my fault, but in the end, it's not. Like, it's removing my ego from it is definitely a learning process. But it's something that, you know, I think I've done all my life. I'm trying to keep that in check. But, you know, once you come in a leadership role, people look to you to be that person in the tower, I guess. I don't know how to say it, but, you know, when people are talking about their own kids, you gotta bring it down a notch and see where they're coming from. So that's been a big learning component, for sure.
And you saying, hey, it's not about me, right? We're not perfect, but a lot of times, like you said, it's that passion for their kids. It's personal for their own children. So, our friend Eric Hipsman is watching. Give Eric a shout out. He said, yeah, you're one of the best. Again, if you are watching, jump in and say hello. Christine, we had a great class, a number of wonderful educators in there that have gotten administrative jobs. What was something from our class time together that you've taken with you and hopefully have put into practice in your new role?
So what's funny is my cohort, like, we still check in with each other. So it's just the power of collaboration and the fact that, like, I, you know, I'm a strong cup of tea sometimes, and I know that. But, like, I am now working with Caitlin's brother, and there's just, like, we're always connected. And when I need something or have a, like, want to try a new partnership or want support in any way, like, I know they're there and available, which is something with, you know, now that everything's moving to online learning, you know, our cohort ended in COVID. So it ended in July 2020. So we luckily had the physical space together and that, you know, relationship making. So I think that's just something I've, like, thought about, you know, now is my high schoolers are going to college. Some of them are just doing online, or people are getting their master's online. And I don't know. I just think that the collaborative power of like building that team and that cohort is something that was really special with our group. You know, my brother-in-law is currently going through the program, but it's all virtual. And so it's just something that being together just made, I think, a huge difference. And we also had enough, like, I think we all respect each other probably more than each other think, but we had some real strong personalities in my group. And, you know, it was a good lesson on learning how to work with people who might not necessarily agree with you. Or just, you know, so out there, you're like, how do you function every day? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I talk to her all the time. She's my bestie. We really did. That was a great example of like collaboration and doing what's best for whatever the task is at hand with that group.
Our friend Gina's watching too. She sat in the way back there in the class. Gina, no.
Oh, brother. Yeah. In our corner, our side of the room.
Yeah. The Middletown side. Must not be a Broadway show for her today. So she was able to join us.
I don't know. Middle school. We were just talking about it before the podcast. Middle school. I'm currently not in a middle school. I visit from time to time. But, you know, middle school is definitely it's hard and it's tough and it's not for the weak. But like I said, I miss puberty. I don't know. And once again, I like trying to figure stuff out. And that age band is definitely something that, you know, and then in the security role, going back to that social emotional health and trying to support these kids because they have access to all this information and each other. And, you know, it's always something I think about. So Gina, keep fighting the good fight there in middle school.
Christine, you have a interesting background as an educator. You know, your job, your education in the arts and communication. You attended Syracuse College of Visual and Performing Arts, dual Bachelor of Fine Arts and Art Photography. I mean, there's a lot there. And then you went into a lot of design and technical teaching when you were teaching. But how are those skills helping you now with some of the stuff you're doing?
Yeah. So, you know, with my bachelor's, I've always been interested in like visual, like I'm a visual learner. I need to see, like I need colors and like I can't just listen. So like my own learning has been based in a visual dimension, one say. And then, you know, when I was doing that, I realized that, you know, making messages and communicating as clearly as possible was something that, could solve a lot of problems. Like my life was made easier the more I could communicate, whether it was nonverbal or verbal, you know, what my intent was. My upbringing communication was, you know, was the biggest challenge, I guess. And so just really looking at that, you know, at Syracuse, there was a rhetorical studies component in my background. And, you know, the art of persuasion, especially in my current role, you know, whether it's convincing someone to do something to keep themselves safe, or it's trying to communicate a policy, like right now, reasonable suspicion has been a big conversation. Because, you know, what is reasonable suspicion in terms of safety? So I think my background in that just helps kind of clarify or give a different perspective, or kind of most of the time we're like all saying the same thing in a different way. So that's been really helpful. And just, you know, my interest in trying to figure things out. So that's been very helpful. And I always think back to, you know, it goes back to philosophers and it's nothing new. But it's just, how do you apply those skills and strategies? And then the nonverbal component, I think, you know, I'm just attuned to it and it's been very helpful. Especially in times of crisis, you know, looking in those cues and helping train people to do that as well. So that's been, you know, that background. And then, you know, moving into my first master's. So I graduated from Syracuse and I went to the city like everyone else in Syracuse. We all go to the city to find a temp job or an internship or something. So I went and, you know, realized the city's just not for me. It just, I don't know. It just wasn't for me. A couple of people did, but I couldn't. So I came back home and I just kind of realized, you know, that I really enjoyed yoga and meditation. I became a teacher when I was in the city, like just to find my own happiness. And so then, you know, I had a little stint, you know, about a year or so trying to figure it out, but I started teaching yoga, and that's kind of how I got into public education. So SUNY New Paltz had a program at the time was called Humanistic Multicultural Education. So, you know, just looking at the whole person, you know, every identity and body and incantation of what they are, and then how society or anything affects that. So now it's called Social Justice Education. It's the same program, just a new name. And so that kind of really honed my interest, you know, working with populations like Monticello and thinking of my own background of like, oh, okay, like now things are making sense of why it was different for me than someone else. And, you know, it wasn't education master's, but I didn't get certified because it was all the, you know, No Child Left Behind. It was the high stakes testing. It was like, you know, that time in education where it was like, why the heck would I want to do that? Because it was just like scrutiny, like the microscope. I just was like, I don't want to do that. So I ended up working at a not-for-profit. So I ended up working at Bethel Woods in their education department. So Bethel Woods Center for the Arts. And that was just a wonderful, you know, community-based work. And there's a museum. So I had that kind of region side. But then, you know, I just wanted to be back in a school. There was just something about being in a school that I really was drawn to. And so then that's, you know, then I get my teaching certification in art because that's, you know, was my love and my background. And yeah, that's how I got in your class because Middletown, I was doing the video production. So really using communication, using that visual art component on making messages and, you know, trying to teach kids that what they say and make and do has meaning, and just to make sure you mean what you do and you say and you show. So it was, you know, I took the leap in administration during COVID, during my last maternity leave. So, you know, it still feels like I'm supposed to go back there tomorrow in a way, but yeah. It all ties together.
It absolutely does. Along those lines, Christine, about happiness, you know, I've replaced the word balance with harmony. Tell me about finding that harmony with two young boys, this job you're doing, your family life. You know, you enjoy being outside and hiking and all of those things. Tell me about finding harmony mixed in with two little boys in the house.
So I always say this, me and my husband always say this, that they're only this little for this long. Oh. Right. So just kind of putting a bookend to like the chaos of, you know, having little people. So, you know, and just remembering that they're all like, he's only three for 365 days, like just kind of staying in that moment and staying as, you know, present as possible. Like, yes, sometimes I'm on my phone doing emails at bedtime and the glow of my phone is keeping him up. But, you know, being mindful that, oh, I got to just, you know, put it down and it can wait. And just remembering that is something that I think keeps the harmony. I do nap rides in the car. Like if they just can't, I'm like, okay, I'll just also have my me time. I'll listen to a podcast or I'll, you know, sometimes I'll just play music. Sometimes I won't have any music. But just that balance of, you know, the family first and, you know, it's all, but that's also what I would tell my staff that, you know, you have to keep that in mind and the balance is there. And once again, everything's temporary and something hard is happening. You can get through it, but the balance is, you know, I wash dishes and watch my garbage television Bravo shows while I wash the dishes. I just try to fit it in as we go. And, you know, it definitely helps, you know, just a little fresh air, I bought a lot of plants recently, so I don't know what that means. I'm over winter. I think I'm just over winter. I want
freshness. You and everybody else.
Oh, the preschooler's like, it's the first day of spring, and it was snowing. I was like, that's confusing, right? Trying to teach them, here are the seasons, and then first day of spring, it's big, fluffy white flakes.
And it was freezing today up here in the Northeast for sure.
Still wind here.
Christine, anything you wanted to talk about that we didn't talk about yet today?
No, I just think, like, you know, with everything that goes on in the world that's big or loud or, you know, this whole security part of me is just, you know, reminding people that there is still good and everyone's still trying. And we just sometimes, you know, forget that. But, you know, we're all working together. And I think we've always said that. It's just sometimes people forget, and you know, the news and the media like to say what they want to say, but you know, if you come into Monticello, it's, you know, we're welcoming and open, and you know, we're here for each other, which I think is hard when sometimes schools have a little bit of a connotation, a negative one to it. So it's just something that we've been super mindful of and trying to build a better perspective, I guess.
Well, good for you, and good for you for being part of that on your journey. I wish you the best at Monticello, and I know you're happy to be back in your hometown, and keep up the great work.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Let's get to rapid fire. Christine, you know the drill here. These are quick answers. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Of course she's ready. She's a super mom. She's an assistant principal. Of course she's ready. She's ready.
I'm good on the fly, though, too.
Here we go. Last book you read.
It was the Hacking School Discipline book with Mike Guards.
Yeah, that is a great book. There's this whole series, Hacking, right? All kinds of stuff to hack, right?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, cool. Last movie you saw?
Paw Patrol, because I'm a mom with young kids.
Last concert you went to?
The last concert I went to... trying to think now. I think it was at Bethel. It must have been at Bethel Woods one last summer.
It's like in your backyard.
It's so great. I mean, I used to work there, so it's, you know, it's nice to see my old colleagues.
My kids are old enough now, Christine, I can take them to concerts, so you'll get there. You'll get there one day. What's your favorite dish?
I love homemade mac and cheese. It's like homemade.
Any additives, any little bacon? What do you got? Well, add anything in there?
Great, like gooey mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Favorite place to travel?
Ocean City, Maryland.
Beautiful. This summer, I will fill in the blank.
Go on vacation.
To Ocean City, Maryland?
Yeah. No, we go every year. It's really, you know, it's our thing. So
beautiful.
Yeah, it's fun.
Favorite vacation activity?
I will love biking. Like, biking's like a great outdoor thing for us. So it would be biking on the boardwalk, biking, you know, just biking in general.
They let you do it early in the morning, right? When it's crowded, you can't have the bike out there, right?
No. Hey, but that's perfect. It's not too hot. There's a little breeze.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's a nice time. What is a pet peeve of yours?
Lying. Just people who are just not telling the truth. Just be honest. It's, you know, everything's easier when you're honest.
You don't get that up at Monticello, right? The kids, they tell you the truth, right?
I had a kid tell me another kid's name the other day, and I was so mad. I was like, I just walked to the administrator, and I was like, you got to do this, because I can't.
At 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel fill in the blank.
I feel content. You should just have a cup of coffee. Kids are running around, relaxing, and very comfortable pajamas.
Staying warm up there. Christine, people want tools. People want takeaways. What's the best takeaway from this show that can help somebody else?
I think the takeaway is to... you know, once again, like, look at the behaviors coming from an emotion. Like, don't take it personal. even if it's like a family thing, or, you know, there has to, you just have to remove your ego from that. And then I think you can see the other side, or a potential other side, to whatever you're going through.
Great answer. Something about Christine Maraglia that people do not know about.
I don't know. I already told you I love Bravo Television garbage TV, which is like the strangest thing. Yeah, I don't know. I could say that.
Okay. She's an open book. These are quick answers. One or the other. Cheeseburger, taco, empanada.
Taco.
Long walk or gym workout?
Long walk.
You like the hiking out there in Sullivan County. Yeah,
I love it.
We're turning the page this spring. It'll get here one day. Beach, beach, pool, or lake?
Lake.
Sports team. Who's your sports team?
Mets.
Let's go Mets.
I'm not a huge sports person, but I go to Mets games every once in a while.
Will the NCAA tournament be on in your house?
Well, if Syracuse, you know, I have my loyalty. So if Syracuse is a part of it, yes. But if not, then I don't care.
They are not. The Big Orange is not there this year. Book or audiobook?
Audiobook.
Series or movie?
Series.
Yeah. They're so good these days, right? They're incredible. Is there a series you're watching now?
No. Garbage TV while I wash dishes.
Winter or summer?
I don't know. Cause I like, there's like stuff to do in either. I'm over winter right now, but you know, I don't know.
Winter's hanging around like a bad house guest here in the North. We are ready.
So I'll say summer just for that. Just for this winter.
Cash or credit?
Credit, because I get cash back.
Cookie or donut?
Cookie.
Morning or night?
Morning.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
And you're a strong cup of tea. Surviving or thriving?
Thriving. You gotta.
Absolutely, you are. From the second you said, "How can I help you?" I knew you were a thriving person. So thank you for that. Friends, this is Christine Maraglia, great school leader, Monticello, New York. Check her out. She is at Chrissy Marags. You spell that. Chrissy. Yeah. Right?
Yep. Chrissy Marags.
Chrissy Marags. Chrissy, do you have a quote that you like? You want to end this with a quote?
Well, I just laughed about it because it's like on my wall. I was talking to someone today, and the quote is just, "Everything is figure outable." It's like my motto. Everything is figure outable.
You got might a good not be quick on things, yeah.
But we'll figure it out.
As a young mom and young AP, you have a terrific outlook. I wish you the best, Christine, on your journey.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Friends, check her out. She's at Monticello School District at Chrissy Marags. If I could help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at Andrew Marotta 21. She is extremely talented at her job. Christine, thank you so much. We are going to sign off here on the podcast. Leave Christine a positive comment here in the chat. Friends and family that certainly were watching, and everybody, happy spring. And if you are going on spring break, enjoy. Don't just refuel, recharge. So we're going to sign off here on the podcast. Christine, thanks, my friend.
Thanks.
You stay on the line a second. Take care, friends, and keep surviving and thriving.